It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All on mine, shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening? Hey, angels. Happy Wednesday. Thank you so much for those of you that are joining me visually. This is now episode 2 that is on my YouTube channel. So head over to there so that you guys can see me and say hello in the comment section down below. And for those of you that have DM'd me and messaged me and said, hey, you were watching me on YouTube and you also listened on audio, thank you so much. It means so much to me. I am super grateful for you guys and I really, really appreciate it. Especially for those of you that went the extra mile and you actually watched me and listened to me. There's nothing better. So now we will have this going weekly. Okay. We have a team. We're starting to build our team now and I'm feeling really good about that because you guys know it has been quite a while since I've been teetering on the idea of the fact that I finally wanted things to go visual. So let's get into our little mini updates. You guys know I was in Jersey the past week. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm a very present person. So yes, it is very difficult for me to be on my phone. I did grab some footage of my like New Jersey dump while I was out there, which I will be posting. But I haven't posted anything yet. Hale has already. She's really, really good with that. It was her 26th birthday. I cannot believe that when I met her, she was like 21 years old. It's insane to me that already she's 26. How the time has flown. And thanks to you guys, that's literally how we met, from the internet. And you guys literally saying that we would be the best of friends. And hey, you guys were actually right about that. So I had the best of time celebrating with her. And today is a very juicy episode. I had a subscriber. I'm pretty sure I mentioned this to you guys before. And she said, Aisha, I love your rant videos, things like that. But I kind of want a little bit of your older type of content where you are being entertaining, but you're also being educating. And that is exactly what this video is. Last week's episode, if you guys saw it, which I highly recommend, I did promise you guys and kept my promise that you guys could watch me do my makeup. To be honest with you, I'm probably going to do another one of those. Not anytime soon, but I'm probably going to end up doing another one because I didn't love the way my makeup looked that day. Okay. I did not love it. And to be honest, I don't even love the way my makeup looks today either. Okay. Because I seem to have put this lip stain on and it is like stained in the middle of my lip, a little orange. What is happening? Anyways, I digress. So today we are going to be talking about one of my passion projects. Okay. Of a subject, which is NPD, Narcissistic Personality Disorder. Now, I have two videos. It's a two-part series that I made that I studied very intensely called Psychopath Free. We like to use the word, I want to say, narcissist a lot in society. And this episode is going to be, hopefully, serve as a way to debunk and discern the difference between narcissistic personality disorder versus narcissistic personality traits. Because you guys are going to learn that just because someone displays the traits doesn't necessarily mean that they have the disorder. And I think it's really important to make the distinction of the two and also discern the difference as well. So let's jump right into it. We have a great story time also that I'm going to be sharing with Haley's permission. She has given me the permission to tell her story. on today. So I'm going to do her justice and tell you guys what's going on with her in regards to her actually dealing with someone that actually, I believe, has this. Now, I want to make this little disclaimer before, you know, you never know what you're going to get on the internet because it's the internet. I know that if you are a quality queen, if you are listening to Quality Queen Control, and if you are watching Aisha Christina's channel, that you are a very positive person. You're a very progressive person. But for the people that, I don't know, maybe this might cross their path, I want it to be known. No, I am not a doctor. I am not a psychologist, and I'm just someone that is certified in mental health. Okay, so take that with what you will. Now, what exactly is narcissistic personality disorder? I'm looking down at my notes just for reference, you guys, just so that we're very clear and we get all these points in. My mind was spinning a million miles a minute because I love talking about mental health and human psychology. So, narcissistic personality disorder is a mental health condition characterized by a grandiose sense of self-importance, a constant need for admiration and validation from others, and a lack of empathy for others. Now, a lot of psychologists actually believe that narcissism runs on a spectrum. And I have to say, I really do agree with that sentiment because of the fact that I find it very difficult to believe, based on the statistics that we're going to get into in a moment, how few people actually do have this disorder. It is my personal belief that it is only the small percentage because it is undiagnosed. Because, well, people actually with this disorder do not think there's anything wrong with them. So wouldn't it make sense that it would be underreported? But that's just my personal opinion. So in other cases, narcissism is so extreme that it can interfere with a normal, healthy life or normal, healthy functionality of life. So this is known as narcissistic personality disorder, or NPD. And it is very important to note that not all individuals that have narcissistic traits have NPD. However, those that do, they often exhibit these core features. So there's a difference between traits and the disorder. So that's what we're going to get into today. So let's talk statistics really quickly. This is what I told you I find very, very fascinating. Interestingly enough, people that have narcissistic personality disorder, it's actually much less common than we think. I know, crazy, because we always hear about things like this, right? People sitting in their car on TikTok talking about how I survived a narcissist. I'm not making fun of it, but I mean, well, it is true. So only approximately 5% of the population in the United States, or 1 in 200 people, actually have this disorder. Am I the only person that finds this very alarming? Now, there are, interestingly enough, significant gender differences in terms of narcissistic personality disorder. I'm just going to abbreviate and say NPD because, quite frankly, I am tired of saying the full exact word, okay? So 75% of men have NPD when it comes to, well, NPD. Now, let me refer to a slide that I have on here that I actually want to read because I find it to be very fascinating. So in terms of demographics, right? So 2 to 6% of people that are seeking help, mental health help from, no, let me actually re-say that. 2 to 6% of those seeking help from mental health clinics have NPD. 6% of forensic analysis have NPD. 20% of people in the military have NPD, and 17% of first year med students. Are we? Wow. That was very astonishing to me. Now, usually narcissistic personality disorder appears first in early adulthood. And just for fun fact, there is no prevalence in terms of any ethnicities. So there is no specific ethnicity that has NPD more than the other. So you guys know I always talk about dating. So I want to talk about today specifically what NPD looks like in regards to a romantic dynamic. This is
This is probably going to be one of the most important videos that you guys actually listen to, because I'm sure that as we're listening to this, as we're watching this, that there are things that you can relate to. Again, doesn't mean that that person is narcissistic. They could have a trait, because remember, it runs on a spectrum, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they have a disorder, the actual disorder. So these things can be relative to both, I'm sure, platonic and romantic dynamics, but just for today's episode, I want to gear more towards romantic dynamics. So as you guys know, NPD can significantly affect and impact the dynamics and create a lot of challenges for people. So let's discuss what the core features of NPD are and how they manifest in our romantic dynamics. Now, this I screenshotted, okay? According to the American Psychological Association, there are a set of guidelines of how to diagnose NPD that psychologists refer to when they interview a patient. And these symptoms are listed in their official book. If you guys know the book that psychologists use, which is the DSM-5, according to this. Well, one is a pervasive pattern of grandiosity, making themselves appear impressive. And I'm going to divulge in, you know, more into this, but I'm just going to list them for right now. A need for admiration, shocking, wow, baffling. In other news, water is wet. Fantasies about power, success, beauty, or an idealized vision of love, a sense of entitlement, belief of being special, unique, or of high status, lack of empathy for others, a tendency to exploit others, and arrogant behavior. And it also states that people with NPD spend a significant amount of time comparing themselves to others. They often have fantasies about being exceptionally successful in their careers. And some individuals with this condition consider themselves to be superior to others, while others are overly critical of their own flaws. People with NPD may be highly resistant to criticism or highly sensitive to perceived slights. I thought that was very fascinating, because even people that have this woe is me victim mentality can also be diagnosed or possess narcissistic type of traits. Wow, powerful. So, firstly, in a romantic dynamic, emotional manipulation, they're going to use these tactics, right? Another buzzword, gaslighting, okay? Guilt tripping or emotional coercion, right? To control you and undermine their sense of reality. They're going to invade on your emotions. They are emotional terrorists. That's exactly what they are. And they make you doubt your own perceptions. Now let's get into a little bit of a story time here. And Hale, I hope I represent you well. So my best friend Haley ended up unfortunately encountering someone that I truly believe is a textbook narcissist. So she was going to the gym looking fly as ever, and as she always does, and this guy approaches her in the parking lot. He is very sure of her. It's like divine intervention that he met her. He comes, you know, presenting himself as a very established type of individual. And he basically asks her for her number. And I do remember her calling me and telling me that she wasn't really that interested in him, but whatever. He's not, you know, an unattractive individual or anything, but she just wasn't really sure. So he was very, very smothering very early on. And that's something that I was really paying attention to, is the fact that he was a lot very soon. It's like he would call her all the time on the phone. He said to her, I want to take you on a date, you me date, like now sort of thing. And not going to lie, like initially, you know, it could be perceived, because this was her first time ever encountering something like this, as, okay, this guy seems like he knows what he wants. And I mean, sure, fine. Like, we'll go on a date. So they end up going on a date to this really nice place, and they were holding hands. I remember her telling me about it. It was really, really great. And it was nice. And then after that, the smothering kept continuing, where he would take up all her time, calling her on the phone. It got to a point, without getting into every single nitty gritty detail, where he was consuming a lot of her time. Things got so bad in terms of the smothering, she always felt an underlying feeling of, I don't really know about this situation. And I was like, me neither. I do feel like he's very smothering with you. And it got to the point where she had to literally tell him that she was going to spend 2 weeks at the shore, and she gave her and tell him that she gave her phone to her assistant just so that he would leave her alone. And I remember when she told me that, and I'm thinking, if you feel that strongly that you're going to have to do something like that, now my guard is up and I'm concerned, because I'm thinking, why does he feel this need to like always be in the know of what you're doing, where you're going, all these different things? And it didn't even come across as like, I guess in the moment, like it was super aggressive. Like, I need to know where you're at. It was, hey, what are you doing? Do you want to hang out? Like, you know what I mean? That sort of energy. So it's easy to kind of misread it. You understand what I'm saying? So she was like, Aish, like, honestly, I'm going to just like say this to him just so I can like, you know, let him off easily and not be around him so much. But he said, wait, before you go, is there any way that I can just like stop by your house and like, you know, I wanted to give you flowers. I thought that was very ironic. So you mean to tell me that I'm going to go away? And he knew she was feeling overwhelmed by his constant, you know, the chasing after her in like a very smothering way. By time I come around, I remember her telling me on the phone, Aisha, you know, I do have this feeling that he is kind of selfish. Like, he doesn't do anything for me. For instance, if she suggests something, what he'll do is he'll take none of those suggestions. So an example of that is, hey, Hale, what do you want to eat? And she'll say, oh, let's go to Wendy's or something. And he'll be like, let's do Taco Bell. What was the point of you asking me if you're going to just override what I want to do? Also, anytime she wants to go somewhere, he doesn't want to go there. He wants to go where he wants to go. There was a place that the both of them attended, and she's like, hey, why don't we go to this place? It's really nice. And he was like, we were just there. I don't want to go there again. But then when she went out with one of her friends, who is a mutual friend of mine as well, we love her, Tiffy, they went out for a girls' night. And this man shows up to the place that they were at on a girls' night without Haley's permission. Again, overriding his boundaries, not respecting anything she says. He wants to see her. So he walks in that night after this dynamic. I'm giving a very like fast summarized version of it, by the way, because I only, in all truth and honesty, I only remember the latter end details that I'll get into more detail. But in the very beginning, I wasn't here. But what I experienced with this person, myself, one-on-one, we'll get into that in a minute. So I remember her calling me and telling me, Aish, so-and-so came in and he came in on a girls' night with me and Tiff, and her parents were there, and he literally told me that he loved me. And I remember thinking, huh? I'm so confused. Like, this literally has been such a whirlwind. This has all happened in such a short time span. I mean, it was like, what, a month in or even less? And he's saying he loved. I could just tell from the outside looking in, and she knew it too, that this was another tactic for him to take control of the night. He wasn't invited. And his excuse for coming uninvited is, ooh, well, I just can't stay away from you. I love you. You know what? You know what? Enough. Okay? Enough. Like, as I said, Hale, do you believe this? And she goes, girl, I don't care. I don't care what he's saying. And I said, well, you know me. I said, well, do you love him? She was like, no. I'm like, okay, good. Her head is screwed on straight. That's a relief for me, right? Okay. Because I would have been so concerned if she did. And so then I remember there was another instance that happened where she went out with her friend another time, and she was going to go on like another date or something like that, because that's not her man. That ain't her man. Okay. And he literally gets so upset and shows up to her house. Yes. Unannounced again. shows up to her house and was like, I don't want you. Again, it's not seeming like it's scary because it seems like, man, he really is so bothered by wanting to be with her that he's showing up to show her, listen, I want you to know it actually does bother me if you go on a date with someone else. I don't want that for you. I really like you a lot and I want to be with you. How about we start dating exclusively? Exclusively. Okay. Whatever that means. And so she's like, what does that mean? And he's like, well, I'm not seeing anyone else. So I don't think that you should see anyone else either. And I could tell like Hale still wasn't really buying it, but she was just going through with the motions as many of us do. And he thought in that night that he actually prevented her from going on a date. But truthfully, he was just smothering her and she wasn't even really going on that date. His behavior toward her was so crazy that he showed up to her house and was like, let's be exclusive. So you see, now we have two crazy episodes. We have the showing up on a girl's night with Tiff. I love you. Then we have the let's be exclusive because she's going to go on a date with someone else. I don't want anyone to have her. But yet they're not officially, they weren't boyfriend and girlfriend, but they were exclusive. Very interesting. Now, fast forward into the details in which where I was present. So all this drama is going on with them. There was even a point where she had to block his number. While her and I are on the phone and she's explaining to me these events, he calls her blocked a bunch of times. There was even another time, an instance, and where I remember that they were supposed to have like a romantic type of night together. And he said to her, hey, babe, I actually forgot that there's a game on tonight. So can we just watch the game at your house? You know what? I've had enough of you. Okay. This guy cancels a romantic night and goes, let's watch the game at your house. You're way too comfortable, way too soon. This is not me. And Haley caught it too. She said it. She's like, Aish, that is so weird. I literally told him, don't even bother coming. So all this time, right? You see, she's pushing him away. She's pushing him away. She's pushing him away. He keeps showing up. She's doing nothing wrong. Then out of nowhere, somehow along the lines, because it was very flattering and I would have done the same thing, he is very consistent and persistent in trying to consume her time, right? The love bombing and all these different things, to where he somehow sort of convinced her that maybe she kind of liked him too. Maybe she kind of liked him. I mean, she didn't love him at all, but she kind of liked him too. So the second she found herself kind of liking him, they had a discussion about it. He turns around and says, man, you know what? I think we kind of moved too fast. I think we should pump the brakes on this. I said, wait, what? So the second I reciprocate your feelings, you all of a sudden don't have any. Mr. I love you, Mr. Exclusive, Mr. I don't want anyone else to have you. That's very interesting. So fast forward, I come over this past week to spend time with Hale for her birthday. She says to me, Aisha, I just have a feeling that I don't want him around because I don't really know how he's going to act. And I don't really understand what's going on. It's like she was walking on like eggshells kind of. But mind you, Haley is not a walk on eggshells type of woman. She is very much a person that is very honest and will tell it like it is. That's one of the things that I love about her. So she's not mousing around anybody when it comes to saying how she feels. And she would express how she feels. And that's what would make it more confusing, is he would pretend to acknowledge these things, but he would resort back to the same behavior, to the point where any little mishap they would have, if she'd have an issue, and I'll give an example of what I mean, he would somehow always find a reason, a way to blame it on her. Bro, you always do this. And that's another thing. He would always be like, bro, this. And he'd ignore her. Like on a 3-day time schedule, he'd ignore her, wait for things to simmer down, and then proceed on like literally nothing happened. So the week that I got there, I actually wanted to meet him because, hey, if he's special, you know, in her life, not saying that he was, but if he's in her life and she's my best friend. I want to obviously meet him so I can make my own judgments. So we end up hanging out. And first thing that I notice is he has a brother, right? And Hale was telling me, she's like, H, like his brother's pretty cute. Like maybe you can hang out with him, not to date him, but just because like it'll be, you know, he has a brother there. It's an option. And I can be with this guy. You could be with his brother. Like it's totally fine. So I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, why not? Like, let's see how it goes. And first thing I notice is Hale says to me, wait, where is so-and-so's brother? And I'm like, I mean, I don't know. Like, this isn't, you know, I don't know what's going on here. Like, is he supposed to be here or not? And she's like, yeah, that's super weird because so-and-so told me that he was sleeping. And since when does he sleep this early? Like, I've hung out with them all collectively multiple times and he's never been to sleep this early. So apparently he was working that day. All of a sudden he has a new job that we've not heard of. I'm talking about the brother. According to, let's call the so-and-so guy, let's call him Bob for whatever reason. So Bob has a brother named Brandon and Bob tells Haley that Brandon just started working a new job just to get some extra cash because he is younger than the guy, than Bob. And so he's super tired. He's going to bed. So while Hale and I are actually like at his house, we hear rattling upstairs. So Haley goes, wait, where's your mom? To see if maybe the mom was home or something like that. And he goes, she's sleeping. So I'm confused. If Brandon is sleeping, your mom is sleeping, then who's upstairs? I'm very confused. He goes, my mom, I don't know. Like that was his reaction. You mean to tell me that your mom woke up and Haley says, well, what is your mom doing up? He goes, she's doing the dishes. Okay. You know what? I really don't even know what to say here. You mean to tell me that your mother woke up to do the dishes at dark 30? I really don't get it. So I'm thinking, whoa, that was another major red flag to me because I'm thinking, wait a second. How is it that this man just lied on the spot and said his mother is upstairs doing dishes? Mind you, he knows we're not going to go and check because it ain't our house. But like, what are you actually saying right now? So that really bothered me. And I ended up mentioning it to her at the end of the night. So then another night, he ends up taking over the day. And I'm confused because some of our friends like kind of know each other. It's all happenstance. And I hope I'm saying this, articulating this clearly. But there was a guy that I actually met 2 years prior. He knew the guy. He knew Bob. And it was just very coincidental. But I haven't seen this guy or anything in literally 2 years. It was so funny because it was like such a fun night that Hale and I had meeting this guy at a restaurant. But we never spoke to him again. We never heard from him again. Turns out there's some sort of like correlation. They're like, they knew, like it was like a friend of a friend or something like that. Like put it like this, Bob and that guy that I met 2 years ago, they have each other's numbers. So I was thinking, cause I think that Bob's brother, Brandon, is a bit too young for me. I was thinking, you know what, let me, since he knows the guy that I met 2 years ago, I would rather speak with him. And I remember being on the phone and actually, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's fine. It doesn't matter. I remember being on the phone with him and Haley, and he was saying, well, what's in it for my boy sort of thing? Like, why should I tell my boy that your friend's in town type of thing? And at first I'm thinking, what do you mean by that? Like, why does it matter? Why is it any of your concern? And Haley was thinking the same. Why do you need to care what my best friend is doing with someone else? And I agree with that sentiment. I was feeling at first like he was trying to say he wants to look cool to his boy that we are like, yo, I got you this girl and like maybe this could happen or whatever. You clearly don't know me. Nothing is happening with me. Okay. Nothing at all is happening with me. So I'm like, okay, that's weird. And that obviously bothered us because we're just like, why does it feel like you can feel this energy of like needing to control the situation? Where I was confused is, why am I being controlled? I'm not your girlfriend and technically neither is Haley either. So what do you have to do with me? That doesn't make any sense. So he wanted to consume all our time. So later that night, and I could be telling this out of sequence, but there was a night, I remember. This was all in the same week, I want to add, the week that I was just there. So we were supposed to be doing something else for the night, but then we ended up somehow hanging out with him again, which I didn't mind because I'm having a good time regardless. So we go back over to his place and I'm not minding because I truly am having fun regardless. And I noticed that immediately his brother Brandon is there. And it's like, it was like a scripted movie. As soon as Hale and I walked through the door, his brother's like, "Hey, Aisha, my name's Brandon. Oh my God, I'm so exhausted. I'm going to go upstairs. I got to go to sleep." So you mean to tell me that both times that I'm around, your brother is so unavailable because he's so busy that he has to go upstairs? It's giving scripted reality TV. It's giving Real Housewives of New Jersey. I don't understand how conveniently your brother all of a sudden has to work all this stuff. It's giving, I told my brother that not to hang out, or I told him not even to bother coming to hang out with us because I want to hang out with you guys. I want to be the center of attention. But mind you, it wasn't even giving, ooh, I like Aisha. It's giving, I'm crazy. And I want to control what's going on in this environment. That's what it's giving. So I'm like, and then mind you, the only friend he had around is his, I don't even know how else to say this to you guys, but his coke head friend. We're all sitting down. We were like hanging out, watching music videos. It's feeling like super nostalgic. And his friend is drinking a lot. He's not my type. Let's not lie here. We all have a type. Cut it out if you think you don't. And his friend is getting progressively, he's a really nice guy, but he's drinking a lot. He's drinking so much that he grabs Haley's drink and drinks it on his own. She goes, "Did you just grab my drink?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm thinking, why is your friend drinking off of your girl's drink? That is very weird to me. So he finishes Haley's drink. I'm watching this in all my soberness, as per usual. And he then proceeds to go to the bathroom. Now, I'm not thinking anything of it. Then I remember like about maybe like a 10-minute time span passed, or maybe even five, actually. And he goes, "I'll be right back. I'm going to the bathroom again." This time I noticed he was in the bathroom longer. He comes back downstairs and he looks visibly pale. And I notice he's sweating. I'm like, what in the molly is going on? Pop the molly, I'm sweating. Woo! Like, that is very, very crazy to me. I'm like, did this man just do drugs? Hale and I, one thing we don't do is drug behavior. I don't. And I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. I don't do that. That doesn't mix well with my spirit. So I'm confused on why on a regular Tuesday, on a calm night on a Tuesday, you're in the bathroom snorting it up. On a Tuesday night out of nowhere, first of all, why are you even doing that, period? But this is a calm setting and you're in there coked up. Are you out of your mind? Wow. Insane. So I'm like nervous. I want to leave now because this is very confusing to me that this person is trying to feel so exhilarating on a calm Tuesday. So Hale and I end up deciding to go home. And I was like, literally, we waited for him to leave just so that we wouldn't be anywhere near him when we were driving. Hale and I go home. We discuss the night and we're immediately upset. Now, it is now going to be a day before Hale's birthday. Hale and I are filming the video that you're going to see on her channel about our friendship, everything. You know, we've been friends for like 5 years. We have filmed like I think, to be honest, we've filmed a total of 3 times, but you guys didn't see, or maybe a total of 4. I don't even know how many times, but like very few times. But one of them you guys did not see because we never uploaded it because we just didn't like the footage, how it looked. But we filmed very few times. So we finally wanted to film something for you guys. And in the middle of us filming, she gets a call from Bob. Now, Bob was supposed to come over and build a box spring for me because Hale just got a new bed for, I have my own room. Yes, I have my own room. Get you a best friend like Haley. It's not my problem that you don't have that. I'm sorry. What do you want me to tell you? So I have my own room there. And we needed a box spring for my bed, but we didn't know that we needed that. And I was sleeping, listen, very comfortably because Haley is a fantastic host. So I could care less that I didn't have one because I was still on a bed anyways. And it wasn't it was not uncomfortable for me at all. So we, so again, back to the selfish thing. So while we're filming, he said he's going to be on his way from the gym. But I noticed he started vacillating between whether he was going to go to the gym first and then come over and do it, or he was going to do it and then go to the gym. So he ends up going to the gym and he calls us while we're in the middle of filming. Mind you, we have this on film. We're not going to include this part. At least I don't think she is. But we have it on film, the conversation. So he's like, what are you guys doing? We're obviously like on FaceTime with him. We're filming. And then he's like, what did you guys eat? Now, normally when you ask a woman what she ate, we're going to assume that, well, you're going to be eating with us. He goes, oh, I'm going to go to Cava. And we're like, oh, okay. So you're going to be eating it. Okay. Got it. Like, you know, like that's cool. Like, no, that's fine. We're going to continue to film. She asks him, are you on your way here? So he said, I'm going to go to Cava. Then I'm going to head over to you to build the box spring. Then I think he says in that moment, do you think it's going to take me a long time to build it or whatever? She's like, no, he goes, all right, so I'll just come now. Like I could just tell, and I'm sure she could feel it. Like he's going to find some way to try and ruin this. So her and I finish out filming. I kid you not, in between that first conversation and us being done filming was about a 2 to 3 minute time span. She had 2 missed calls from him. She calls him back and he's like, she's like, hey, where are you? Are you on your way? And he goes, bro, my dad called me and said, oh, like what? We're going to dinner at some like cafe thing. So Hale and I were like, well, like that'd be nice. Can we come? Because why? This guy's always including himself in our plans. He's Mr. Oh, can I come? Mr. Can I come? So forgive us for thinking that there's a problem with you having dinner or lunch with the love of your life, right? His brother, Brandon, and his father. What's the big deal? So he says in response, I'm not trying to do all that. Mr. I love you. What'd you say? You're not trying to do all that? Is that so? Okay. So then I'm like, okay, like that's weird, but whatever. And then I'm telling this out of sequence because it's just like, I'm so like invested in it. But I remember on our last phone call, because I guess we must have spoken to him 3 times. So the first phone call, he was asking whether or not he should come before the gym or so. Second phone call, he was calling to let us know he was going to go eat, and he ended up wanting to go eat with his dad instead. And then the last phone call that happened in between the time where we were done filming, she's like, hey, where are you? And he says, bro, you didn't answer the phone, so I turned around and went home. I won't and I can't. So she goes, okay, bye, and literally hangs up on him. He calls her back and he goes, what the is your problem? Like, and she's like, no, it's fine. Like, she's not even going to get into it because the fact that we have to explain this basic thing, once again, here we are where you're doing nothing for her. And let's not forget to add that this man, again, presented himself as very established, wearing a Philip Patek watch, taking her to these nice steakhouses, and he's nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort, okay? He is sitting here all of a sudden, and he has a betting problem on top of that, talking about, oh, I just lost like $3,000 on a bet. So like, and she's like, okay. And he's like, yeah, but like, I could have taken us out with that money. And she's like, wait, since when did you have a problem with money? Like all these different things, like, cause he's shown up to send her flowers at one point. But now that we clocked it back, he's only really done that. He hasn't really, everything else has been talk. So much so that we knew it was her birthday coming up, right? And what happens is this man decides that he's going to buy her a pair of these shoes. The shoes literally look like my first kitten heel, okay? They had it was giving Bachelor Mishka in the front with the little brooch, and it was giving grandma in the back. If you know Haley, you know she does not wear shoes like that. Then he, ironically enough, bought them in the wrong size. So then he texts Tiff, our friend, and he's like, oh, what should I get Hale? And I send Tiffany the suggestions to give to him. He then responds by saying, oh, can I just get this for her instead? Again, you see, always having to have his way and not doing anything in the meantime. So then we're just upset because we cannot believe the fact that now we are left to build the box spring. And I want to mention, before I even got to Jersey, they got into a fight before I got there because, and he was supposed to build the bed for me, the actual bed frame, which she ended up building herself. They got into a fight, ironically enough, when he was supposed to do that, and he didn't show up. Then fast forward, now I'm present and I'm seeing this dynamic play out, and he was supposed to get her a gift. He didn't. He was supposed to build the box spring. He also didn't. I'm like, this guy is not okay. So I'm thinking, now we're done here. Now we're done here, because now I'm seeing it for myself that you want to take up all our time. You want to control what it is that I'm doing. He's a liar. So then it gets better, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I hope you're still following me. So fast forward. Hale's birthday comes, right? And we don't hear anything from him. To this day, we haven't heard anything back from this man because he's clearly detached. He does not care anymore. And mind you, she has him on WhatsApp. She can see that he's active on WhatsApp. So he's just choosing to literally ignore her. So then her birthday comes. We're having the best time. And Haley has a friend that I met and he bought his friend. Okay. I want to read to you what actually happened in this, because I want to make sure that I'm getting it right. So let me open up our text messages right now. Okay. So she wrote, she met someone through Bob and they became friends. And Bob did not like that her and that guy were remaining to be friends. So he told her that guy, trying to make him look bad, tried to get with a certain girl at the pool. And then when we told that guy that came to celebrate with me and with Hale for her birthday and everything, turns out that guy, let's say his name is Chris. Chris said, actually, that none of that's actually true. So just so that you guys are following, Bob said that Chris was trying to get with this girl at the pool. He's super lame. He's like so desperate for girls, all these different things. And Chris was like, wait, what are you talking about? None of that happened. And you can tell he was super sincere in his voice. He's like, actually, it was the opposite. Bob was actually the one that was trying to get with the girl at the pool. And so Haley's sitting here very confused because she's like, wait, what do you mean? Because we were just exclusive, like as recent as last week. So what do you mean he was at the pool trying to get with said girls, all these different things? We discovered and unpacked so much with Chris. It is insane, to the point where it further validated why this guy was a raging, crazy person. He has a narcissistic personality problem, I will say. I'm not going to diagnose anybody, but he has something, because he is textbook following the detachment, the devaluing, which we will get into in a moment, all of these different things. So he, while him and Hale were exclusive, he also, we heard from Chris, was trying to get with these other girls. He said like they were these like cute Brazilian girls that he was trying to get with. And I'm very confused because I'm thinking, Hale is thinking, wait, this guy does not seem like at all the person that you're describing to me. But Chris was saying, well, the person you're describing to me also doesn't seem like the person I know. So I'm confused. It just shows that this guy is what we say, like feisty. He's feisty. Now, I actually want to add this part too, that this guy has another, like, I think there's some, we know that there's other people involved, but the day actually that he showed up with her and Tiff at the place that they were at when they were having a girls' night, they ended up getting into a fight because he ended up telling her the reason he's been acting weird is because he's in love. He realized that he's been like in love with like his ex-girlfriend. Now he's introduced Haley to a bunch of his friends, which I also happened to meet. And one of his friends in particular was like, you know, I don't really understand why he's so hung up on that girl, because they were never even really together. She actually has a boyfriend and a child as well. So this guy's hung up on a girl that he was never with. And he said, yeah, and I was talking to her pretty much the entire time that you and I were together. So that's what was going on. So I'm like, wait, huh? So I said to Haley, you don't want to be the eye of this guy's storm. You don't want this guy to pay attention to you, because if they're paying attention to you, they are harassing you. If he has managed to overstep so many different boundaries that seemed harmless then imagine what he does when he really is focused on you. So it's actually good. And I also mentioned to her at one time, I said, I feel like his moods are contingent on how his day went with someone else. So whether or not he communicated with whomever that other woman is, he would take that out on Haley. And then how he buys time for himself so that he can go and do other things is he'll start a fight with Haley, blame her for it, manipulate her by not speaking to her for like 3 days, like on, you know, that's how it goes, 3 business days. And then he'll resurface like nothing else ever happened. And let's not forget to add that after he did not show up, like later that day, where he was supposed to build the box spring and literally didn't. Hale and I actually did it ourselves. He called her later that night, I kid you not, after they got into a little disagreement, and she was apathetic about it. She wasn't like, ah, she was like, okay, all right, yeah, you're not going to do it, that's fine. Like, she wasn't yelling, screaming. She was very composed. And he calls her later on that night and goes, hey, what's up? Like, what are you up to? And she's like, I'm just going out with Aisha. And he goes, okay, have fun. So now all of a sudden you're okay with going out and having fun, but yet he would make jokes saying things like, oh, I noticed that every time you go out with your girlfriends, you say their names. Every time you go out with guys, what guys? I have no idea. You just say, oh, I'm going out. So we're observant enough to know. There was another incident where he clocked the fact that Haley wore the same shirt in the same day. So they saw each other earlier, and then I guess they went to the gym or something like that, and then they ended up seeing each other later or whatever, and she was running errands or something like that. So in the same day, she comes over, and it's still early in the day, and he goes, why are you wearing the same shirt? She's like, it's the same day. What do you mean, why am I wearing the same shirt? I'm so confused. Like, he is just, we're observant about everyone else except for ourselves. I guess that's how that goes. That makes a lot of sense. So I did tell her, I said, listen, this guy has someone else involved. This is before we had the conversation with Chris and we unpacked. Chris was divulging so much information to Haley and I that we literally got all the closure that we needed. Every single thing was exposed because of the fact that we got Chris's perspective. Every single thing that he accused Chris of doing, that Bob accused Chris of doing, he was actually doing himself. He was the one that was trying to get girls at the pool, at the gym. He was the one that was trying to ask certain questions and trying to look cool. He was the one that was doing that. Very, very interesting. So, all in all, she is not, I want to be very clear, she is not with this person. She's over it completely. Thank God she did not get involved more with this person. And I'm so happy that I was able to be there and witness these things, because if I, like, you get so sucked into this, you don't realize you got until you're already gotten and getting. Like, that's just how this type of thing works. I mean, it's very difficult. And I was telling her, I'm like, isn't it crazy how you can speak to so many different people and you can hear their circumstance, and you on the other side are probably like, you know, thinking objectively, yeah, well, girl, like, don't do this, da, da, da. But when you're in it, it feels so tricky. Like, your brain starts to undo certain things and starts to explain away certain things. And luckily, that was not her situation. And she's very fortunate about that. And I'm happy that I was able to be there for her and witness these things. So back to this traits, the traits of NPD, right? When it comes to grandiosity and self-importance, this guy definitely had that. And the reason I wanted to share that story time, and hopefully, Hale, I did it justice, is because I want to show how it's reflected in this guy's behavior. What better way than to actually have an example? So they have an exaggerated sense of self-worth, which I really do think that this guy has, this guy Bob, because they genuinely do believe that they are superior to others. And they have this strong need for recognition and admiration, which is why we believe that he'd make jokes about his younger brother, who is taller than him and maybe a little, maybe a little better looking than him too. Okay. And he would say things like, oh, this guy goes to work for 2 days and he's already like tired and thinks he's so hardworking. This guy does nothing. He doesn't even have a real job. Like, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? I have no idea. They believe that they deserve special treatment. They believe that they need a constant attention, okay, and validation from their partner. So that's why he'd say things like, "Oh, you're going out with guys. You're going out here." When she went to a party with Tiffany's family, he made a comment, "Yo, those guys can't handle you." Where are you, like where's your head at? Because it's not here. You and I don't live on the same planet. You and I don't exist in the same vortex, you know? Okay. Lack of empathy. He literally does not possess empathy in any capacity. He does not understand her feelings. He will have an entire conversation with her. Oh, babe, I never want you to feel like that. This entire week, I witnessed his full spectrum of narcissism, traits of narcissism, where I witnessed him getting her upset for no reason. I witnessed him gaslight her. I witnessed him try and control what the both of us are doing. I witnessed him, and it's not as blatant as you think. It's not like, I said, don't go there, don't go there. It's not like that. It's not as obvious as you think it is. It's, yeah, why don't you come over? Why? Because you want to consume our time. Then you want to control what we're doing when we're there. You know what I mean? Like, it's very subtle, but it's there and it's happening. I've also witnessed him be very selfish, saying he's going to do something. And then he's the type of person, he's a very untrustworthy individual. He's the type of person where you never know his plans can change. You and him can be hanging out. And then his friend comes over and goes, hey, do you want to do this right after we leave? And he goes, oh yeah, sure. And doesn't even consult with Haley about it. And next thing you know, they're, you know, at a place that they don't want to go, like eating lunch somewhere, then they never agreed to that. And he even asked if that's something that she would have wanted to consider doing. He's that type of person to where you're always nervous because you don't know if he's actually going to ever follow through on the plans or not. Okay. And he cannot connect to other people. I've witnessed him withdraw affection from her, but then be overt, like very, very affectionate with her. In 1 week, I've witnessed all of these different things from this person. Okay. He feels like her feelings are relevant to his own. Okay. Exploitative behavior. All right. They exploit others for their personal gain. So they take advantage of their partner's kindness, resources. Like for instance, trying to make an attempt to use her TV to watch the game. Boy, if you don't go to your own house and do that on your own time, what do you think this is? Would you like me to make you some wings while you're at it? Would you like to invite over the boys and crack open a cold beer while we're at it? Please stop. You're finished. All right. They know how to be so cunning and manipulative and garner emotional support out of someone without reciprocating any of it. All right. They can manipulate their partners to meet their own needs while simultaneously meeting zero of the other person's. All right. They have a sense of entitlement. Okay, where they expect their partners to fulfill every need and desire. It's like they expect you to be on what I'm on at all times, but it's always changing. The target's always moving. They become angry and resentful when their partner does not meet their expectations. There's a lack of boundaries with them, where individuals that have NPD have difficulty respecting boundaries. So they, in this case, especially invade their partner's space. Oh, you're going out with the girls tonight? I'm going to show up and I'm going to come there and say, I love you while I'm at it, because that's what I know is going to work. How is it that you go from I love you to ghosting me and literally having zero feeling and not speaking to me again? Because I asked you to build a box spring. You got me nothing for my birthday. You did not even speak to me or stay on. Oh, and to add insult to injury, he literally unfollowed her on her birthday. Well, I guess that's the gift, huh? Great. Thank you for setting me free on my birthday. That's the best thing that you could have ever done. Sincerely, XO Haley. How about that? Yeah. So their feelings, look at this, can lead to suffocation and loss of autonomy for their partner. So he was trying to literally eradicate Haley's autonomy consuming all of her time, engulfing her in his world with his friends and his life. And at the beginning, yeah, this is how you get sucked in. Because what did I say in previous videos? These men are not going after like the bum slums, the bimbos. No, they're going after highly intelligent and ambitious women. That's what they do. It's statistics. The idealization and devaluation, oof, this is the one, right? People with NPD may engage in a pattern of idealizing their partner initially, seeing them as perfect, putting them on a pedestal. And this is an example of that. When she asked him, why all of a sudden did you stop doing certain things? He goes, well, I knew you were the type of girl to go to this type of restaurant. I'm scared. So you literally analyzed, she seems like a steakhouse type of girl, And so, because I said to her, I go, Haley, where is that person that you met in the beginning? Where did he go? Where did he go? He's gone because he never existed. Because they're empty shells and they try on different masks depending on what you want. And then they take it off and shed it and move on to the next victim. So they make you feel like you are perfect and they're putting you on a pedestal. However, there's going to come a time where they begin to devalue you. They're going to be criticizing. They're going to be demeaning. They're going to be emotionally, they can be emotionally abusive. He'd make little comments to her. Oh yeah, she hasn't done this since this. But he'd make little comments that were inappropriate, that didn't even make sense. And it's, so it's kind of like, why are you with me if this is how you feel? Okay. And this cycle of idealization and devaluation can create confusion and an emotionally unstable relationship because you don't know what you're going to get and you're trying to get back the beginning of the dynamic. So because of this up and down pattern of idealization and devaluation, it leads to you feeling so insecure and it erodes at your self-esteem. So this is going to be present and manifesting in your relationship. And that's what makes it so damaging because now you're trapped in an unhealthy type of environment, predicament, where you feel like your esteem is based on this person. So like I was saying before, the emotional manipulation, which is the gaslighting, the guilt tripping, bro, this is all your fault, all these different things, the need to constantly control what it is that that person is doing. What really gets me and grinds my gears is the fake accountability and acknowledging of what's going on and they're going to fix it. And there were 2 days in a row, I remember, 48 hours, where he was flawless. It was like he was super like nice, like laughing, like really getting on with her super well. And I'm witnessing this only followed by the day before her birthday in an attempt to ruin her birthday. Because like I said, we know he's involved with someone else or other people. So that's why his moods are always contingent on something else. And like I said, what he does is he uses these fights, these 3 business days to go and buy time so that he could do whatever he wants. And he knows he's not going to hear from her or anything. And then he comes back like nothing ever happened. Like I said, on that phone call the day before with the day of the box spring situation, box spring gate, where he goes, all right, we'll have fun. Wow, for the first time you're not inviting yourself? That's shocking. Then you have the infidelity or seeking alternative sources of validation, which is what I literally just explained. They always engage in extramarital affairs, emotional affairs, or further eroding an emotional bond with their partner. Chris, when we had a discussion with him, God bless that man, he proceeded to tell us that one of their mutual friends doesn't like Bob, because Bob is the type of guy who's super sneaky. You tell him about a girl, next thing you know, he's signing up in her DMs. Haley goes, wait, what? Because this does not seem like anything like the person that he presented to us. It was even shocking a little bit to me. Imagine that. And I'm objective. All right. Then we have the sabotaging of achievements or goals. Like I told you, he's very belittling as it pertains to his little brother. Oh, he does this. He's not doing anything. Like, wow, he has no job. Always trying to make himself seem like that guy. You are not him, King. You think you're him. You're not him, King. How about that? You are not him. And it's really important to note that in the transition between that idealization and devaluation, it's very sudden and confusing. There, it's very dramatic. It's one day he's showering with love and the next day you're in a fight And it's over the most trivial things. Can you believe something as little as a box spring is what led to this whole catastrophic event of him not showing up to her birthday, of him not getting anything for her birthday, of him literally disappearing and everything? Can you believe that? It's just that small. And they deliberately do things like this. In conclusion, angels, being with someone that has NPD can lead to basically you being on an emotional roller coaster of emotions. These people will do all of the things that I've listed that you guys are listening to or watching, and it is very serious. Now, I can do a part two because I know that this is already long enough about how to recover from these people. I don't only want to talk about problems. I do want to offer solutions. So if you do want a part two, let me know. And I will definitely include that in next week's episode where I talk about the healing process and what that looks like. That deserves a separate episode on its own because of how I want to really go in depth and take a deep dive into that, because it's very important to learn how to heal from those type of people, because we cannot fit that all into one episode today. So let me know if you guys want that. You do not want to be with someone that's like this, obviously. And listen, give your friends the same grace that you give these guys, because it's so easy to judge other people's situation. Ugh, girl, I would never. I would yeah, and wait till it happens to you. Because baby, let me tell you this. It always seems different until it's you, until your brain starts to talk yourself out of things that you would hear and think are so obvious and they're not. Let me tell you something. It's so easy for these people to live a double life. And I'm sure still, because of this, the sudden like lack of affection you're getting from this person, I'm telling you, it the shoe drops, the rug is ripped so far, so fast from under you, you don't see it coming and you literally feel crazy and you're just trying to chase back what once was, because the fights are never that serious. So you're getting into arguments over these trivial things and you're just like, what's going on? Did I do something wrong? And you just find yourself in this cyclical roller coaster of feeling like, oh my gosh, I just want everything to be good, because the good is magic. And when it's good, it's good. And when it's bad, it's catastrophic. And when you stay in dynamics like this, that's when you get caught up. So like I said, if you guys want part two, let me know. I hope you guys enjoyed this video. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this. For those of you that are listening, I appreciate it so much. And if you're doing both, oh my God, I love you a little bit extra. And I really appreciate you guys. With that being said, angels, thank you so much for watching. Do not forget that I love you and God loves you. And I will speak and see beautiful angels in my next podcast episode. Mwah.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.